know that Charlie Kirk had been wounded on the battlefield. He'd been wounded as he had a rally at a college campus in Utah. A couple of thousand people out there, and he was throwing them hats and doing what Charlie Kirk does, not only having a podcast with millions, but engaging crowds, going out there in where the devil is on the University of Devil campuses, and confronting them in love and in easy to be entreated way to interact, and then to give them God's gospel and to give them God's truths and to interact with them and to deal with them in every area, spiritual, moral, political. He didn't run from any aspect of confronting the culture with God's word, with God's truth. And there are people that do that. I asked Brother Bob when Bob texted me and called me in tears and told me that Charlie Kirk had died, that his mortal body was dead. Charlie's still alive, thank God. He's more alive than ever. But his body has died through that terrible wound there. And I asked Bobby to give me a kind of a summary of Charlie Kirk and his work, and I'm going to read that as the introduction of my message tonight. Charlie Kirk started Turning Point Action. His message was to teach foundational conservative principles to a young generation that wasn't allowed to hear them. But his conservatism was pure because it was always rooted in the Bible. His faith in Jesus Christ was foundational to everything that he did. He wasn't just trying to win debates in politics. He was teaching the moral truths of the Bible at every opportunity he had. And I've heard him on things like pro-life, talking to women who were not that way and really engaging them and giving them the truth. He very likely, humanly speaking, did more to get President Trump elected than any human being alive. Amen to that. All of his many Turning Point chapters went to all the swing states and knocked doors and registered voters. He didn't think that was something you shouldn't do in a free country. He realized it was his duty. And his unending crusade to the colleges brought in more new young conservatives than any other movement. His debate skills were definitely unparalleled. His mind was a computer. Flat out, he was unbeatable. And he was having a massive impact. Although he had a very successful podcast and radio show, he did not just stay behind the microphone and wait for people to come to him. He took his message to what would be considered the most difficult areas, the rockiest soil. He went out and engaged people who disagreed with him at his own risk, and I might add the university campuses all across our country, like Ken Hovind did with in his heyday of debating the young earth and the creation against evolution. All the time while maintaining his Christian testimony, Charlie Kirk did this, and maintaining his biblical moral standards. He had a lovely wife that he married, I believe, in 2021, and two lovely children. He loved his wife and was faithful. He was a family man, a great husband and father. The powers of evil, no doubt, wanted him gone, and God allowed it. We can pray that many others will have the courage and the God-given ability to continue where Charlie Kirk, by the way, anybody know what the name Kirk means? Charlie Church, where Charlie Church left off. By the way, Charlie Kirk, Charlie Church, he was always in church on Sunday. He didn't miss his services. And make America great again, like Charlie was committed to do God's way. Amen to that, Brother Bob. And so Bobby, when he texted me and told me these two things, I just found myself more and more, though I was very pressed with the message that I was writing, unable to finish and to bring it to you tonight. So from that time, I thought of a passage of scripture that immediately came to my mind, and I think I started sharing it with Bobby as I prayed with him, realizing Bobby was in tears and needed that. And I want you to turn to Acts chapter 7 tonight, verse 54, and we're going to look at through Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, because when Bobby called me, I hope you have your Bible tonight, amen. We have it up there, but you should carry it as well. I told Bobby about the work of Satan, who knows to target to kill. The devil, Jesus said, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Make no mistake about it, if you are a born-again Christian, and if you intend to be a soul winner like I preached on Sunday night and engage the culture, if you intend to stand for God's word, you're going to have enemies because Satan would like to kill you. He would like to take you out. He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came not to take from us, but to give us a good marriage, to give us a good home, to give us a good life, to give us eternal life, to give his life for us. Charlie Kirk was a born-again believer, and that's what he was doing when Satan led this individual or this group of individuals. We'll find out more. We know Jesus was conspired against and murdered. We'll find out more. But he was part of a huge movement to turn young people on college campuses back to God, back to the Word of God, back to the morals of God, back to the political and biblical principles that made America great in the past. And Satan realized that he was marching on his captive university campus. Satan felt like, you're beating me, you're destroying my great captivity. And he wanted to kill Charlie Kirk and get him out of here. God allowed it, because you see, the devil is God's devil. And you need to realize that. God allowed it. God had to get, he had to get permission from God for this to happen. Do you understand that tonight? Because God protects his people until or unless he lets Satan do that. You need to remember that Satan is under God's control. So why is his young wife, and why are their two children now without a wonderful father? Why is his young wife without a husband? The Bible truth and passage that has been brought to my mind is in Acts 7, 54 through chapter 8, verse 4. And the name of the message tonight, very simply, is the seed of the martyrs, and Charlie Kirk is a martyr, should be your call to go and grow. The seed of the martyrs should be your call to grow and to go. Charlie Kirk, his being taken out, being allowed by Jesus to be taken out, should be your call tonight to step up and do your part now. He was doing his part. I've never seen anybody work like Charlie Kirk except for Donald Trump. He was very similar. He just kept working and working. So it's your call to go and to grow. And number one, because in war, you can expect casualties. Look with me at Acts chapter 7, and I'll read verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Here's Stephen now engaging the people. Here's Stephen now engaging the culture. Here is Stephen now engaging, listen to me, the same people that martyred our Lord, that took our Lord and handed him over to the Romans to kill him, who conspired against our Lord to kill him. And of course, the devil was very much involved in that, along with Judas, who was a traitor. That was very much happened. And so now Stephen is preaching a message. Listen to me. He's preaching a message about the Messiah that they killed, and he's telling them that they killed the Messiah and to repent of their unbelief and to their rejection and to turn and trust Jesus as their Savior so he would forgive them. Now, you need to remember tonight, the word martyr means witness. The word martyr means witness. Stephen was a martyr. Jesus, our first martyr, was our first witness. Charlie Kirk is a martyr, he is a witness. And that's what the word means. And so you need to realize that the seed of the martyrs, or it's been said, the blood of the martyrs, the blood of the martyrs, and Charlie Kirk was gushing blood. He got hit. You can look at it on the internet. I'm not going to watch it. But I'm going to tell you about it, that he got hit probably in the carotid artery by that bullet, probably from a window, I'm guessing, and got hit, and the blood was gushing out, and the people could see it gushing out, the blood of Charlie Kirk. He was taken out in the bloom of his life, 31 years of age, a young man. Listen to me. Eric Slobodnik said, "I'd rather die for something than from something. I'd rather die for something than from something." Listen, this generation of millennials, this generation of Generation Z and Generation OT, I don't care what anybody else calls it, if you're 2025 and after, you are Generation OT. Mark it down. I've been around longer than most everybody here. You're Generation OT. And overtime. And I'm just saying to you that this Charlie Kirk is a martyr. His blood that gushed out is a reminder of the blood of Jesus that gushed out, you see, for your redemption. You are bought with a price. You are bought with blood. You are a walking dead man. You are a walking dead woman. That's what George Mueller said. That's what we need to realize today more than ever before. And so I'm just saying that that a martyr means witness. And you need to realize Satan is a killer, number one. But at the same time, God protects us. The same bullet that hit Charlie Clark in the neck, just a few inches to the outside of where that bullet, I guess he with his right hand grabbed his left carotid artery. I think that's what happened. He grabbed it like that. That bullet, if it just went to the right a little bit more, would have whizzed by him, and God could have had that happen. Because remember, Donald Trump, was his right ear? I believe it was his right ear. Just a little bit to the left, just an inch or so to the left. It wouldn't even have hit his ear, but just an inch to the right or two, he'd have been dead. His blood would have been splattered all over, and he wouldn't have gotten up. But you see, God is in these things. And you need to realize that. You and I need to realize that we are not safe because we withdraw ourselves from the battle. You can be killed like that poor lady by that wicked man that stabbed her in the neck. And that you can get on the internet too. I don't recommend you watch it. But that, you could be killed like that, you see. But God says the safest place for you to be is marching on the gates of hell. If you, like Charlie Clark, march on the gates of hell, they will not prevail against you. Moses and Elijah, they're coming back, my friends. They're going to witness for Jesus Christ to the Jewish people in the heart of Jerusalem. I've been there. That's a tough place to witness. Let me tell you right now, to Orthodox Jewish people in Jerusalem, you try it. It's tough. I've been there, and it was tough. And that's what is going to happen. And the Jewish Antichrist and the beast, they're going to try to kill them. And repeatedly for 3.5 years, they're going to be kept alive until the Lord allows Satan to take them out. And then he's going to raise them from the dead 3.5 days after that, you see. My friends, I'm saying to you, you should be a walking dead man or woman. I should be a walking. You say, "What are you talking about, Pastor?" Jesus died, my friend. His blood gushed out. Stephen died. He was stoned. His blood gushed out. Hey, how about Peter and James and John and all the apostles except John? He was boiled in oil. He didn't die. Every one of them, my friends, were martyrs. There were martyrs, witnesses. We're reminded by Charlie Kirk, you know, that, yeah, he had protection around him, but our protection is from angels. As I'm up in this pulpit, I could be, you say, "Thank God we don't have a government now that'll arrest us because we got Donald Trump," but you could have some nut come in and take a pot shot, you know. You don't know. I've known pastors holding their Bibles up and gotten shot, you know, killed right in the pulpit. I'm just saying to you that the seed, that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church and the Kirk. That's what church is, you know. And by the way, Charlie Kirk, he was a tall dude. I saw him. I don't know how tall he was. You could look it up, but Trump had to look up to Charlie Kirk. He was a big man, a big, big man, in more ways than one, you know. And I'm just saying that Job says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Charlie Kirk was taken away by Satan, but the Lord allowed it. So we can say the Lord gave us Charlie Kirk and the Lord took him away today. Why? Because in war, listen to me, you can expect casualties. If you've ever been at war, Eric Slobodnik's been at war. He went to Iraq. He was in a Bradley fighting vehicle, and he was taken out of this world to go to heaven because his vehicle hit an enemy IED. IED. You can blame the Iranians and all the wicked people, but he knew. He knew he was there to fight, and he knew he could be taken out. He knew it. He talked to me about it before he left at my house, where he made plans for that possibility. And how about you? Do you realize that you may not die just of something like cancer, heart, whatever, liver, spleen? You may die for something like Charlie Kirk. Now, Charlie Kirk wasn't trying to be a martyr. He had a security detail. He was just trying to do his part to make America great, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just saying, his death today is your call, young people, and all of you, to go and to grow for the Lord. Number two, I would say this, because in war, the Lord Jesus is your commander-in-chief. What we're doing, it's not Pastor Bloom that's your commander-in-chief. It's not your dad or your mom that are your commander-in-chief, or even Donald Trump or somebody like that. It's Jesus Christ. You say, where do you get that? Look at chapter 7, verse 55 and 56. It says, when they heard these things, that is the people that Stephen was preaching to, look what it says. They were what? Cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You see, if you engage people, you need to know their hearts are wicked. I heard an evangelist come to this church. He said, what's the wickedest place in your town? He said, it's not the tavern. It's not the whorehouse. It's not the this house and that house. He said, the wickedest place in our town is your heart, people. The thoughts of your wicked hearts. That's the wickedest place. And the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Now, if you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you give out the Word of God in the power of the Holy Ghost, that is dangerous duty. I've had blowback from when I do that in the pulpit, and I understand it on a small scale. But you get out there in the arena where Kent Hovind was, and you better watch out. Look what the devil did to him. You better watch out. And I'm just saying, you need God's protection. And Charlie Kirk was out there, and Stephen was out there engaging, and they were cut to the heart. And when you're cut to the heart, that means you either get convicted and converted, or convicted and you kill. You want to kill. And that's what happened here. Stephen was getting people saved. Charlie Kirk was reaching young people. Charlie Kirk was getting people like Donald Trump elected. Charlie Kirk was getting people saved. You know, people didn't like it when I touched on politics. I could preach on this and that, but they didn't want me touching on politics. I'm talking about good Christians. They were holier than thou. They said, well, they're better than Jesus, who condemned the politics of Israel, and that's why they murdered them, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all of that. Matthew 23, you read about it and so forth. Charlie Kirk was engaging very lovingly, but very powerfully. If you listen to him, his message was getting to the heart. And the devil didn't like it. They wanted to shut him up. And that's not a call to hate these people. It's a call to love Jesus. It's a call to realize that Jesus is your commander-in-chief. And so that is what we're talking about. And the Lord can preserve your life or take it out. In many cases, he'll preserve your life until your life is done. And thank God for that. But if he wants you to die for something, then that is also a great honor. Praise the Lord. So I'm saying that the death of Charlie Kirk today, the death of Stephen, the blood of the martyrs. They're the seed that you should go and grow. Because in war, listen, we're in war. Onward, Christian soldier. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize? Charlie Kirk. And sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. How about you getting out of that comfort zone and getting back into soul winning, getting back into recruiting new people, getting back. Let Charlie Kirk stir you up tonight. Good night. Are you just going to sit around and die of something and let the old death, sickness, and like my Grand Mabel used to say, someday some little germ is going to get you. And she was right. Someday she'd say everything is coming to a screeching halt. But hey, before that gets you in your bedroom or in your living room or in your den, blow the stink off you. Get out there and go and blow with the truth of God. And in your own way, just do what you can do. That's all Charlie Kirk did. Because in war, you're going to have casualties. But because in war, listen to me, this isn't just Pastor Bloom preaching up here. Who's in the right hand of Jesus? The pastors, the stars, Revelation, the angels of the church. They're the messengers. They're the people with the message. They're the pastors as he preaches to you an hour of powers. I'm preaching to you right now. Well, the pastors in the churches, they're the messengers. And so your commander in chief is the Lord Jesus. You should be called to go for the Lord in the Great Commission and grow, because in war, listen to me, great heroes of faith will go down. Great heroes of faith will go down. Look at chapter 7, verse 57 through 60. I'll read it. Then it says, they cried out with a loud voice. That's the people that he was preaching to. And stopped their ears. Look at that. And ran upon him with one accord. And cast him out of the city. And stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit, he said. Hey, that reminds me of the Lord Jesus. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he said, it says, and he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now, that was true of Stephen. Charlie was hit by a bullet with his right hand. I believe he grabbed his left neck and was knocked backward. Didn't have any time. But I'll tell you this, Charlie Kirk, as soon as his soul passed away from his body, we know he was with the Lord. We know right now he is in a better place, and his work is done. He died for something, but God let him die for a reason. He didn't seek to be a hero. He just sought to do his duty. But I want to challenge you tonight. Therefore, would you just seek to do your duty one day at a time? You're here tonight. You're doing your duty. How about tomorrow night when we have soul winning? The seed of the martyrs should be your call to go out soul winning on a night like tomorrow night at 6 o'clock downstairs. It should be your call to go at 11:15 on a Saturday at 11:30 when we go out soul winning, or one or both of those times. Why? Because in war, yes, you're going to have casualties. Men that have been at war, they lose their buddies all the time, and yet they have to keep going. Number two, in war, the Lord Jesus is your commander-in-chief. Let's remember, he's the one sending us out. He's the one that's watching over us. And you know, he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. But you notice when Stephen was martyred, what was Jesus doing? He was standing up, friends. Why? Because he's cheering him on. He's welcoming him home. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Charlie, is Jesus cheering for you? He's cheering for you when you're doing for him what he wants you to do. He'll encourage you. You can get the attention of Jesus. You might not be a Charlie Kirk, but you can do your part. And Jesus will cheer you on. So, yeah, in war you're going to have casualties, but Jesus is your commander-in-chief. And because in war, great heroes of faith like Charlie and Stephen, they're going to go down like Jesus. But number four, because in war you can believe that your commander-in-chief means for it to stir you up to do your part. And listen to me, he will bless it. Look with me at Acts chapter 8. It says in Acts 8, 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Now, Stephen was given the gospel. He was a deacon in the church, but he was on fire. He was a soul winner. I don't think the rest of the church was quite as on fire. But when Stephen went down, what happened? The church got up. There was a great persecution. They said, wow, we got Stephen. Now, hey, make no mistake about it. They saw Charlie Kirk go down. The devil's army wants to get others. Now, they want to terrorize others. They want to get Christians on the run. You know how to answer that? Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Go march on the gates of hell with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting God. And that's exactly what happened here. There was a great persecution under, of all people, Saul of Tarsus, who was one of the greatest enemies you could ever imagine of Christianity and of the gospel. And what did that do? It stirred up the rank and file members of the First Baptist Church in Jerusalem to go out soul winning. And so the whole church was scattered abroad from Jerusalem. Hey, when Charlie Kirk got shot, you see all those people running everywhere? But in Jerusalem, yeah, they ran out of Jerusalem because Saul was just going after it. But they went to give the gospel. Wherever they went, they give the gospel. Are you giving the gospel wherever you go? You handing out tracts wherever you go? Are you giving the gospel wherever you go? You asking people the two spiritual questions wherever you go? Are you following them up? I hope you are. I talked to James. James, good to see you tonight. Went over the gospel with him and reaffirmed that gospel to him and invited him out, called him back. I got a lot of people I'm calling back because I've led hundreds of people to the Lord this year, and I follow them up. Are you confronting people to help you, new people that can learn to be a fisherman from you? Are you doing that? You think there are a few people that should follow Charlie Kirk's example? Oh, there'll be young people that will do that. And what can you do? How can you follow Charlie Kirk's example? You do what God has shown you in the Word of God and be a soul winner and be a person that does the Great Commission and you do your part and you'll be a hero for God. And listen to me, you'll make a difference because it says that, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. A lot of people are going to mourn over Charlie Kirk and rightfully we should, but listen to me. You need to get up from your mourning and get going. And it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Do you think some people, they're just standing up now thinking, oh man, this is the time to do evil. We got to stand up for our cause. Hey, it's no time for people to wimp out and just be some kind of secret agent Christian. You know, like one guy said on TV about Charlie Clark. He said, Charlie Kirk. He said, he went out and confronted the campuses. He said, when I was in college, he said, we would just be quiet when the professor was bloviating his lies and satanic stuff. We wouldn't even raise our hand. But Charlie did. He spoke up. That's what God wants you to do. Just speak up. The Holy Spirit will help you. He'll help you. Samson, he just started engaging the Philistines where he was. Kent Hovind was a biology teacher. He just started engaging by writing a letter to the newspaper. And it just blew up. Charlie Kirk started Turnpoint USA in his garage. And it just blew up. Just do what you can do. And listen, you'd be amazed what God can do with you and through you. It just is amazing what God can do. But you need to step out. You need to stand up where you are. So it says in verse 4 of chapter 8, therefore they that went were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. That means sharing the gospel with people. And then verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Philip was a deacon too, like Stephen. Interesting, after Stephen went down, another deacon stood up, Philip. And he went down to Samaria, and he won the whole city of Samaria. Wouldn't it be great if some of our deacons opened up Tunkhannock or opened up Moscow or somebody opened up Wilkes-Barre and wide open, and Carbondale. I believe we're seeing that begin to open up. I really do. There's more to be done. I'm just saying, listen to me. Charlie Kirk was going out there. Let's face it, some of us are just kind of ding-dinging along. Oh, we're witnessing, we're doing some things, but are we giving our all? Are we really available? And tonight, let's remember tonight that the blood of the martyrs, like Charlie Kirk, like Stephen, is the seed of the church. Let's expect casualties in war, but not let that stop us. Let's expect in war that we're going to have to follow the direct orders of our commander-in-chief, not just the pastor, the commander-in-chief, Jesus. Let's expect in war that it's heroic, and heroes will go down, and it'll be a great loss. But God allows it for a purpose, so that what happened? You know what happened. That Saul of Tarsus, he got convicted by the witness of Stephen. Because the witness of Stephen was a martyrdom. It was sealed with blood. And he knew Stephen really believed it. Because it wasn't any angle in this world that he did this. Like Charlie Kirk, he wasn't doing it for the money. He wasn't doing it for the fame. He was doing it for the commander-in-chief. Saul saw that because he had ambitions in his religion to get to the top and so forth. He knew that Charlie Kirk, his ambitions weren't in this life. It was out of this world. And he saw it, and he was convicted, and Jesus confronted him, and he said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the ox goads that are stabbing you with conviction. And Saul, who are you, Lord? And the Lord humbled him down, broke him down, and then he got saved. And he got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he went out and he blew Stephen away. Stephen had blown him away in a debate. Did you know that? He blew Stephen away. I mean, as far as his outreach, he became the greatest missionary in the history of the church age. Don't be in despair. Jesus took Charlie home. In 31 years, he'll do much more than a lot of you would do in your whole lifetime if you lived to be 80, 90 years old. But let that stir you up. Let it stir you up. And to let you know that he took Charlie home, Jesus took Charlie home today to get you going, to get you growing. For God. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. I'm going to ask every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm going to say tonight, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. I wonder